Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing this morning? Yeah, we're doing good. At Bloomingdale, did you hear in the introduction, I said for the last 11 Sundays, we've been talking about what it might mean to seek peace together. 11 Sundays, that's a long time to talk about peace, but maybe it's not long enough. Maybe we need to go for another 11 Sundays. I see some smirks, maybe not. Well, this morning we're talking about how, as people who want to seek peace, that we can be peacemakers, but that how we're peacemakers, we might need to think a bit about how to creatively be peacemakers. And sometimes there's a lot of conflict, right? Do you ever have conflict? Is there ever conflict in your home or with siblings maybe? I see some nods. Yes. Yeah. But we're going to explore today what it might mean to prevent conflict by acting creatively. That's interesting. Acting creatively. Well, how are we going to talk about that if we don't try to act a bit creatively right now? Hey, we have to act creatively right now. So I'm actually going to need some volunteers. Do I have any volunteers to be some actors? Okay, so I see some hands. I'm just going to call out some roles, and then I'm going to see who can help with this. So I actually need an Abigail. Do you think one of you would be willing to be an Abigail? You'll see. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing crazy. I promise. I think you could totally do it. Can you be Abigail? Okay, how about you take that name tag off its little sticky pad there and put that on your jacket? I need someone. Okay, so this part may not be as lucrative. I need someone who can be a Nabal, who's kind of the fool of the story. Who wants to be the fool of the story? Huey. Okay. Yeah, come here, Huey. Okay, here, come in. I'll give you a name tag. I'm going to put this on your shirt, okay? Is that okay? Okay. Now, I need King David. Who's going to be King David? Sam's hand shot up. Okay, now I need a young man one and a young man two and a young man three. Oh boy, see, I need lots of. So we need Jaren and Theo and Micah? Okay, we could do that. Okay, now I see Russell and Charlie. I see you already kind of going, what could we maybe do? Well, I have a very special role for both of you. Can you guys be donkeys for me? Okay, come up. I'll give you the name tags. And Jaren and Micah and Theo, here are your sticker tags here. Young man one, two, and three. Now I need I know there's a lot of participants here. I need one of Nabal's young servants, let's call it. It says men, but it can be a servant. It could be anybody. It could be a girl or boy. Doesn't matter. You gonna help me out? Okay. All right, perfect. Okay, so we're gonna act creatively. We're not gonna have a separate scripture reading this morning. You are all the scripture reading. You're a live performance of the scripture reading for everyone here. And so everyone, you're not off the hook. You all have to pay very close attention, okay, to what the kids are going to do here this morning. So what we're going to do, we've done this in the past at Bloomingdale. We kind of act out the story as I read it. So you're kind of going to try to imagine it as I read along, okay? So first we're going to have Abigail. Can you stand up, Abigail? Abigail's going to be here. And where's Nabal? Where's the fool? Oh, yes, that's you. Huey, can you stand up with Abigail? Come stand with Abigail. Okay, that's perfect. And we'll start off with you two. You're in the story, okay? This is how it goes. Abigail lived in Carmel with her husband, Nabal. Abigail was wise and beautiful, but Nabal was mean. It's okay, Hugh, you're not mean. Nabal and Abigail were rich and owned thousands of goats and sheep. Oh, wow. Sheep shearing season had arrived, and it was time for Nabal's shepherds to cut off the sheep's wool. David, where's David? Where's David? Sam, that's you. David. David and his men, so you're over here. Yeah, that's right, Sam, yeah. David and his men were living in the nearby wilderness. Yes, you young men, you stand up with David. Yeah. David was living in the nearby wilderness, and David's man knew Nabal's shepherds. We don't really have, that's kind of you. You're Nabal's shepherds. And they actually kept them safe when there was some things threatening them. So David and his men kept them safe. David then sent a greeting. Okay, David, you whisper in Micah's ear. Whisper, yeah. Yep. And then Micah, you come over here to Nabal. David sent a greeting to Nabal. Okay, Micah, this is where you get really expressive, okay? You ready? Peace to you and your house, David's messenger said. We've helped your shepherds in the past. Will you share food and drink with us now? Side note, usually the people of Israel gave food and drink to those who asked, but Nabal replied, okay, Huey, you ready? This is where you kind of go like this. Okay, yeah. Nabal replied, who is David? Why should I offer him food and drink? Nabal had plenty, but he still did not want to share. Nabal's response, go back, give him the response, tell David what Nabal said. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes, Nabal's response angered David. Okay, Sam, come forward and look angry. Ugh. Okay, now this is where it gets a little bit iffy. Are you ready, Sam? You don't look at Nabal. You just look that way. Yeah. Okay. Nabal's response angered David, and David said to his young men, look at your young men, strap on your swords. Yeah. David commanded his men. He planned to fight Nabal's whole household. When Abigail discovered David's plan, she quickly gathered. Can you grab that basket? Yeah, grab it. She quickly gathered bread, wine, grain, meat, raisins, and fig cakes. And she loaded everything onto the donkeys. Donkeys? Okay, come on over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Get in your donkey position. Okay, that's good. Yeah, yeah. And sent her servants. Okay, that's you. Yep. Yeah. She sent her servants to bring it to David. She did not tell Nabal. Abigail followed her servants and met David and his men. Okay, Sam, come. Abigail wants to talk to you. She got off her donkey and bowed before David, saying, can you just go on a knee. Yep, there you go. And bowed before David, saying, don't take foolish Nabal's words to heart. Please accept my gift. Forgive Nabal and do not kill innocent people. The Lord will keep you safe from your enemies and you will be king. When you are king, remember me. And David, Sam, this is you. David, you look back at Abigail and then put your hand out like this. Yeah. Blessed be the Lord, David said. God sent you to me today. Blessed be your wisdom, Abigail, and blessed are you for showing me I should not kill or seek revenge. I will not hurt you. David accepted her gift and went away in peace.
The distant thundering of hooves reverberates in my chest. An approaching storm of danger and conflict. David and his formidable men are coming. Their intentions are veiled in uncertainty. The fate of all we've worked for hangs in the balance, and Abigail's words echo in my mind like a haunting melody. She stood there, poised and fearless, issuing her instructions with unwavering determination. Prepare a feast, she commanded. A feast to prevent a clash of swords and bloodshed? But can a table with food truly quell a storm of aggression? Can an act of diplomacy halt the tide of a battle? Her heart is a spring of compassion. She believes that breaking bread can mend hearts, that nourishing the body can nourish the soul. But in the face of swords and armor, Can such a simple gesture truly make a difference? Is it enough to deter the powerful forces that march toward us? What if this feast becomes nothing more than a fleeting pause, a mere delay in the inevitable clash? But then again, Abigail's vision is not simply about food, it's about seeing the humanity in the faces across the table, even when those faces are shrouded in armor and war paint. And so as thunderous rhythms draw near, as the ground trembles beneath the weight of impending conflict, we must try Abigail's plan. With every dish prepared, with every table set, with every ounce of intention poured into these offerings, it will stand as a testament to her unwavering belief that even in the darkest moments, it is within our reach hope. I can't let doubt hinder my actions. I will take her words into my heart, and I'll pour my energy into this act of defiance against the chaos that threatens to consume us. In the face of adversity, in the midst of uncertainty, I will strive to make her vision a reality. And who knows, as we stand on the precipice of conflict, as we prepare to face the approaching storm, maybe, just maybe, our act of defiance in the form of a simple feast could be enough. With every fiber of my being, I hope and pray that it is enough. Dear friends, today we find ourselves in a moment of urgency. David and his men are advancing towards us. The time is of the essence. We must act swiftly, creatively, and purposefully to prevent conflict and build bridges of peace. As you know, 400 men are approaching. Abigail, our mistress, she commanded us with wisdom, with courage. She mobilized us to prepare a feast, a feast that carries a message of understanding, unity, and compassion. In this moment of daunting urgency, we stand not just as witnesses, but as leaders. David and his men with their swords are advancing towards us. The destiny of our home is in the balance. Recall, if you will, the labyrinth of paths that have led us here, the choices and consequences. Our homeland, our sanctuary, finds itself at a crossroads forged by past events. Remember how Nabal's stubbornness, his dismissal of David's men, thrust us into this vortex of conflict. And yet, here we stand, poised to redefine our fate, to confront adversity with unity and resolve. Hope, my fellow souls, is the ember that must never waver. In the darkness of this pivotal hour, hope is the beacon that pierces through the encroaching gloom. It's the belief that when we stand together, we can forge paths through the darkest forests, scale the highest peaks, and navigate the labyrinth of uncertainty. We bear witness to Abigail's call to craft a feast that transcends sustenance, a feast that proclaims our commitment to unity, empathy, and the alchemy of diplomacy. As the thunder of hooves draws closer, know this: the power to shape our fate lies within our grasp. The strength of our unity can ride like a tidal wave against the turbulent tides of conflict. By our hands, the swirling tempest can be quelled, replaced by the serenity of understandings. The stakes are vast. Now, let us approach the tables that await us, each laden with symbols of hope. At the bread and hummus table, we forge swift sustenance akin to Abigail's quicksilver stratagem. Create the hummus, break the bread, for each morsel becomes a vessel of peace, transcending the division that threatens to engulf us. Then at the Energy Bites enclave, we forge energy in compact form, an embodiment of Abigail's spirit. Roll the oats, blend the almonds, and form each bite with care, knowing that within these orbs lies the energy to defy adversity. And behold, the trail-mixed terrain, where nuts, fruits, and chocolate meld, embodying Abigail's vision of harmony among diversity. Mixed with intent, for every amalgamated handful is a testament to cooperation in the face of discord. Feel the urgency that pulses through Abigail's veins, the very pulse that drives our actions today. In the crucible of this moment, we echo her resolute stride, her unyielding stance, all to forestall harm and sculpt the path to peace. Now, dear compatriots, the hour has come. Please select your table, move with resolve, and let the spirit of Abigail be your compass as we forge forward, becoming the architects of unity that our world so desperately craves. Please start at each station by cleaning your hands and select a table. Instructions are waiting for you there. After the food has been made, leave it on the table for David and the expected horde of people. And may our peace offering save us. We have about 10 minutes. We must work quickly. Please, come, help. Okay, I'll start inviting people to come back in and find their seats again. Hey, Ron, I'm going to stand here, but I don't want the two mics to... So you can choose one of them, and I'll use one of them, but I don't want the... Just me? Okay, great. So I can stand here, and it won't... Okay, perfect. So thank you for indulging me. I won't talk for too long here, as I've already taken up a significant portion of the service already, but and I'm sure you're itching to eat more of the food that's back there. First, you were the house of Abigail, and now on your way out, you can be part of David's horde. So hi, I'm Cedric Martin. I'm bringing greetings from my church, Toronto United Mennonite Church, and I'm also the artistic producer of Theatre of the Beat. Theatre of the Beat is a touring theatre company with a mission to catalyze conversations on social justice. Through our 12-year history, we have presented many stories that look at peace, which is why it's very cool for me to be speaking to you today. Some of these stories include Yellow Bellies, which looked at Mennonite conscientious objectors in World War II, Forgiven, Forgotten, which looked at restorative justice through the lens of an ex-offender trying to reintegrate into society and a church community and the challenges and stigma that they face. Our online production, Unmute, which looked at the rise of domestic violence during the pandemic and what peace could look like at home. And finally, Sail a Song, which we presented here at Bloomingdale last fall, which looks at how to respond peacefully in times of war and conflict and how one voice can make a difference. I'm curious, as you were preparing food or observing food being prepared, was there any stories of peace that came up for you at these different stations? Any that if people want to shout out, any stories of peace? Ah, hunger can lead to conflict, I see, yes. A favorite church services, I love it. I'm happy to hear. I'll let that go to my ego. Anyone else? Any other stories of peace that came up? How maybe food could be a tool for peace? Yeah. Helping each other fill the bags, that's great. As a tool of peace and thinking about food, I think about the MCC relief sale or their MCC meat canning products that they do. Those to me are symbols of peace and ways that they've used food. But peace is often thought about as just the absence of war, but it's not. It has to do with how we treat each other. It has to do with how we talk to each other. They say actions speak louder than words, which is true, but it's important to say something. Saying we're a peace church is better than not saying it. But if we say we're peaceful to all, then what steps are we going to make to achieve that? How will we invite the enemy to a meal, as the call to worship this morning from Romans stated. Personally, I identify as a pacifist, and one criticism of pacifism is that it can be incredibly passive. However, I think you can be active, take the initiative, and still be a pacifist, an activist pacifist. While touring Selah Song, we had the opportunity this past June for 3 weeks to tour through the United States. We were invited to be a featured presentation at the Global Mennonite Peacebuilding Conference in Harrisonburg, Virginia. As we were preparing for that conference and that 11-show tour across central U.S., I had a lot of time to think about and to talk about peace, especially in our talkbacks. And one conversation that came up regularly was the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. A lot of talking points in the media are about how much money, weapons, and equipment we here in Canada and the United States are sending for this war. Did you know that the United States National Defense, which, side note, is a terrible name for what they do, but their military budget in 2022 was $877 billion. That's billion with a B. Let me put into context how much that is. If you had $877 billion, you could buy 29,233,000 cars at $30,000 each. If you saved $100,000 a year, it would take you 8.7 million years to save $877 billion. If you could save $10,000 every single day, which would be 3.65 million a year, then it would only take you 240,000 years for you to save $877 billion. With $877 billion, you could afford to give every person in Canada $24,000. If you could live for 877 billion minutes, you would live until you're 1.668 million years old. That is what they spent in 1 year. This shouldn't be radical to say, but can you imagine what it would be like if they invested 1% of that budget to peacemaking or peace education? Of course, fighting in wars is going to make the most sense when that is where you spend all of your time, money, training, and resources. The title of this series is great. Peacemakers Act Creatively to Prevent Conflict. Let's think about creatively how we could spend even 0.1% of $877 billion, which would be still $877 million. Think what that could be done if we use that for peace. Peace also has to do with power. Those that are in power need to acknowledge their power, and often, to make peace, they need to relinquish that power or need to use that power to help those without power. David didn't need to gather 400 men to intimidate and ultimately aim to kill Nabal and his men, but he did decide to relinquish that power when confronted by Abigail. I acknowledge that I have power and that I need to use that power carefully. In my role at Theatre of the Beat, I have the opportunity to speak up for those who historically haven't had a voice. Our next show, I Love You and It Hurts, looks at that. We have 3 short plays, one about elder financial abuse, one about intimate partner violence and youth relationships, and one about healthy masculinity. With our play about elder abuse, we learned a lot about the loss of power with aging. Sometimes it's because an individual needs more supports, but sometimes there's some ageism assumptions that a senior can't do something. Through this new play, I hope to use my voice and to speak up for injustice, but I also need to acknowledge my power and recognize when I need to relinquish my power and listen, make sure I and others are listening to those who share their stories with us. So as we wrap up this series on how peacemakers act creatively to prevent conflict, let's think about power. Let's think about Abigail. Let's think about David. Let's think about those in our community that need to hear our voices and those voices that we need to listen to. Amen.